Well, in case you do not know, I am filling in this morning for our normal speaker that usually speaks for us after Thanksgiving, Brother Jack Ernest. They weren't able to make it this year. We missed them. But Sister Shirley asked me if I wanted to preach. I told her, yes, I'll do that. And I had something just churning in me even some time before she even said anything about it. So I started preparing several weeks ago. And I kept coming back to this one scripture. And I would read it. And I don't know how many times I've read it. Don't know how many times I meditated on it. Don't know how many times I jumped from it to some other scripture in my thinking. But I always come back to the same scripture. And I kept saying, Lord, what about it? What am I going to do with it? I mean, you know, it's like when you're studying for something and you're reading something, it's like you're at an intersection and there's about five different roads going out from the intersection and you're thinking, which road am I going to go? And that's the way I was with this particular scripture. And I would say, well, Lord, what about it? Wasn't getting anything else, and wasn't getting anything said about that. And I don't know all the years that I've been preaching. I don't know how many. I don't know what percentage. 80% of the messages, he won't tell me about all of it until the last couple of days before I have to do it. And so, a few days ago, he started talking to me, and it was about the thing of being thankful, Thanksgiving. He said, why are there so many of my people that find it hard to be thankful? And I'm not going to preach a message this morning. You know, I don't know what I could teach you that I haven't taught you in the last 30-some years that we've been here, nearly 40. But you know, it's interesting with the Word of God. I'm sure that I'll say something this morning that I didn't say or you didn't hear sometime or other during that 40 years. But I think, you know what? What can you teach them that you haven't already said to? And so, if I don't teach you anything this morning that you didn't know, you ought to get something out of this that you need to remember. Because that's what the Lord does to us. He puts us in remembrance. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you part of a letter that the church got. Let's say our church got this letter. I'm going to read the letter to you. That's what they did back in the New Testament. Paul would send something to the church, and then somebody in the church would stand up and read the letter to the congregation that was there. That's the way they passed on all of the, and then the one that Ephesians might have gone over to Philippi, and they just shared them around like that. But we got a letter. And I want to read it to you. And I'm going to comment on it. And if you want to read it with me.
And if you've got a different translation, it'll read different. And if my voice goes back up high again, you just have to deal with it.
It's in a state of fluctuation. But the letter is in Colossians chapter 1. But I'm going to make a few changes And I think you'll notice the changes. No matter what translation you might be reading, you'll notice that the changes that I make. But this is the letter with the information that the Apostle Paul wanted to share. Beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colombia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We got to remember those are the two most important things that God gave to us when he sent Jesus Christ, was grace and peace. We give thanks. We give thanks. Remember what we're talking about, giving thanks. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Now this letter's to us, folks. Now keep in mind, we give thanks. What we give thanks for, since we heard your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now think about how loaded that sentence is that I just read to you. Which you heard already. So he's saying, I know that this is nothing new to you, but you heard it before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Word, truth, gospel. Now, isn't the gospel the good news? Gospel means good news. Go ahead and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Preach the good news. Now, let me ask you this. Telling you how bad things are in the world, pointing out things that are happening in the world, all the tragedies of the world and all of the possibilities of things that could go wrong, is that good news? You find out about all those things reading the paper or watching or listening the TV. Now, isn't it true that if you watch TV, and I don't care what it's about, if it's politics, if it's weather, if it's economy, whatever, depending on what you listen to, most everything you hear in the news scare your pants off of you. If you dwell on it, you got no peace. It's hard to have any joy. And yet, we spend a lot of time in church preaching on the things of the world because we think we need to warn the world. I'll tell you what, if you preach the good news and the results of the good news and the blessings that come with the good news, all of this other stuff in the world will fade away. Sure, it's out there. Sure, it's real. But you can live under the circumstances or you can live over the circumstances. But if you keep your mind on the circumstances, you will always be under them because they will have the preeminent spot in your thoughts and in your life and in your imagination. But if you think of how good it is in the kingdom of God, isn't the kingdom of God supposed to overcome anything else? Now, I think I may have mentioned this earlier, but I don't know whether I did or not. But you may have seen it about the church in the paradise out in California, Assembly of God Church. The pastor was trying to help some of the people in the community, about 30 of them, about 10 people from his church, about 20 people from in the community, and everything was going. They were at the last minute. He was trying to get them into the cars to get them out. and the cars got so hot they couldn't get in them. I mean, literally, it would burn you to touch the cars. And the only thing that they could do, he got all the people, they went back in the building, back in the church building, went anywhere else to go. They were hearing explosions, and it was houses burning. Just catch on fire and go, shoom, you know, just. They got back in the church, and they started praying. And they were expecting any minute. I mean, I don't guess they were expecting it, but I don't know, you know. The people were praying for Peter in prison, and when he got knocked on the door, they didn't believe it was him. So that shows how much faith they were praying in. But anyway, they were, the voice is in your head. You know, they're praying to God to do something, and the devil or the demons whispered in their ear, well, what do you think he's going to do? Going to go up in a minute. It's just going to flash fire. It's gone. They prayed, and they kept praying, and kept praying. And the fire, and the pastor said they heard propane tanks exploding just like bombs. Anywhere anybody had a house that had a gas for the source of energy, they were just going up like match tenders. Hardware store, this old propane, was close to the church. Every propane tank they had exploded. Just one right after another. And then everything got quiet. And they're still there. And they're still in the building. And the building's not on fire. And all of the things that were going on around them now have stopped. And went outside the door, church. Everything all around them was gone. Nothing left except their property. And there were still leaves on the trees in the yard. Now, somebody can say, boy, they were lucky. Boy, what a coincidence. My. Wonder how that happened. I mean, it kind of strikes me that they got a prayer answered. And God took care of them in the midst of the fire. How come we can read it in the Bible and talk about it and use it as examples, but when it comes right down to our day, and how in the world did that happen? Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think they were thankful when it's over? But what is that? It's a word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. As it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. The day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. There's a lot of people that talk about grace, but they don't know grace. And for some twisted way, the devil puts it in people's mind that when you talk about grace and only grace, that you're saying, it doesn't matter how I live, God's grace has taken care of me. If God's grace has taken care of you, you will have a strong desire to live the way you want to live, because grace is not just an act of forgiveness. Grace is the power from God that He has given us to take the place of our inabilities to perform and to understand. I don't know why we think we can work our way to God. Six steps to getting your prayers answered. If you don't pray those six steps, your prayer's not going to get answered. Okay, then you're not praying in faith, you're praying in works. Because you're trusting the way you do it more than you're trusting the one that just said, talk to me. Don't forget to talk to me. Don't forget to share with me. Listen to what I have to say. Let us fellowship together. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not a formula for getting something done from God when God don't want to do it. Maybe I can convince God to do it. If God thought you needed it, he'd do it. And if you think you need it and you know you need it and you know that God hears your prayers, then believe that you have it. And if circumstances don't look like you've got it, you got to trust God's word or you got to trust the circumstances. Now choose. I'm going to believe the circumstances. I'm going to live under the circumstances because that's what I see. And that's what I feel. And that's what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I believe. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I think. I'm only moved by what I believe. Get to that point. But make sure you're believing right. Believe this book. That's believing right. Among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Jerry Relaford, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Now, I didn't say that to elevate me, but every one of us have heard the gospel from somebody. I've preached to you for all of these years, and I've preached what I believe, and I've preached what I've learned from this book, and I've preached where I stand. And I've tried to do it to help you, not to exalt me. I'm perfectly satisfied that God left me here. And I don't know what it is since 2016 that I'm supposed to tell you that I didn't get saved by then. But evidently, I'm not finished. And we all have to believe that. Now, I don't do what I used to do, and I can't do what I used to do. I don't think I could beat Bob Reynolds now playing basketball. But there was a time when I did, and there was a time when he beat me, and now we just sit around and talk about it. But we still have a purpose. For this reason, what reason? Because you've heard the truth of the gospel. You've heard the word of the truth of the gospel. Because of this, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might and according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to God who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, why do we take what he's saying here? Because he is telling us that because of all that Jesus Christ did, you need to be thankful for that. And as you understand that and are thankful for what he did, all of these things have come forth. But what we hear sometimes from preachers and what we read things for ourselves right here, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, how does that happen? By things you do? It happens by two things that we do. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We do that by reading the Bible and listening to the Holy Spirit. If we will learn that our purpose is to read the Word of God and to live by the direction of the Holy Spirit, we won't have to go out here and struggle with trying to keep up with what all the things that God requires of us. God is saying to us here, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to come into the glorious things of God and the understanding of God if you'll just have time to read the Bible and listen to my Spirit. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. It's here for you. It's right there. Just take advantage of it. Use the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and find out what all you have of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those are not things that you have to do. Those are things that will happen to you if you will simply commit yourself to the Lord, if you'll simply make the Word of God your standard and believe that the Holy Spirit will direct you. And there are people that they'll read that and they'll tell you what all you got to do, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Now you take that on as your own responsibility. It is my responsibility through my performance and my works to make myself pleasing unto God. Where's Jesus in that? Where's the power of grace in that? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit in that? If you could do all of that by yourself, we'd still be under the law. We wouldn't be under grace. We wouldn't be under the blood of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be in the new covenant. Jesus wasn't something that God added to the law so your life would be better. He tells us that in the Word of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, it doesn't say that you don't have to live by the law anymore. I mean, the moral law of God. But the Mosaic law, all of the things in the Old Covenant, we don't have to do that anymore. I'm not against anybody that wants to do all of the temple things in their church services, but that's not necessary. Jesus is the answer. Not all that. You see, you can do all those things and still not be pleasing to God. We do all the stuff that we're told we're supposed to do, and we can do all that and still not be pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because you're doing it as a work. You're doing it because somebody has preached to you that if you want to be right with God, you better do this and this and this and this and this. When the Word of God says to the Philippian jailer when he ran in and was going to kill himself, and Paul said, don't do that. And he asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't tell him, well, you got to do this, you got to pick it, you got to go belong to this church, and you got to do this way. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, all of this stuff will happen if you make the Word of God the standard for your life and believe that the Holy Spirit is going to give life to you from the life that's in it. And then all of these things will be directed to you. But man, like I said earlier in the church service, man has this tendency to have his input in something in order for him to accept it. And just like what Laverne said, Christianity is the only religion on earth that doesn't have to work its way to its source. We believe our way, and Jesus Christ came down. He came down to our level, and we couldn't get up to His. Because God knew that He wanted us, and He knew that we couldn't get to Him, so He sent Jesus to us. Strengthened. Your strength's going to come from the Lord. Now, getting back to the last thing I read here. Giving thanks. Again. We started out with giving thanks. Now we're back to giving thanks. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. Everything that's laid up for us. Who qualified us? Who gave us the right? Like the song says, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But he did it anyway. That's why it's called the reckless love of God, because he just threw it out here and said, if you want it, there it is. And if you don't want it, you missed it. But it's your choice. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Did you know that the scripture says and talks about a church without spot or wrinkle? Did you know what it says? It doesn't say the church is going to have to work themselves to the spot place where they don't have a spot or a wrinkle. It says he is going to present them without spot or wrinkle. Now, he's the one that's going to get rid of the spots and the wrinkles. He's going to present us that way. Now, Jude says that he is going to, he is able to present us faultless. You're not going to work your way up to faultless. He's just going to present you as faultless because God is going to see us through the blood of Jesus. And we are going to be faultless. We are going to be without spot or wrinkle. Not by what we do, but by what he has already done and we have believed. I will never be able to work myself into without spot or wrinkle, but I can stand and say that God says I'll be presented without spot or wrinkle, and I believe it because it's the word of God. He didn't say I had to work at it. He said he would present me. He would present me faultless. Now, does that mean that I have to make myself faultless? If it does, I'm not going, and you're not either. I have to believe in what Jesus has already done. And I have to believe it works for me. And I have to be thankful for it. The greatest thing that we need to be thankful for is what Jesus has done for us. You know, we'd say, well, I'm thankful for a nice home. I'm thankful for a good car. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful that we all go to church together. I'm thankful that we're all saved. And all of that is thinking, it's being thankful to God for things that we have possessed. Some way or other. But being thankful for what God has done for us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean, well, thank you, Lord, for the new car. Thank you, Lord, for the new... It's fine to be thankful for that, but we got to take the step up to where we really need to be thankful. And that is the fact that what we are and what we'll ever be, Jesus caused it to happen. And all I have to do is believe. All I have to do is accept his grace. Because there's power in that grace to cause me to want to be what I believe I am. If I believe I am righteous, there is something that will spring up in me that will work toward me, making me want to be righteous, even though my performance may not qualify me. God has already qualified me through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has delivered us. Now, if I say he has, does that mean I'm saying he will? We don't read that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. We read the words, but in our minds, we hear, he will deliver us from the power of darkness. Because we look around us and we see the power of darkness and we think we're still under the circumstances. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, isn't it true that sometimes we sit around wondering, well, God, when are you going to take care of this? When are you going to get this off of me? When are you going to make this change? When is it going to be different? And we still believe we're under the power of darkness. But but it says he has delivered us. Now, he also says, remember, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus, I think I'll get in your program. I think I'll trust you. I think I'll get in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think I got a good deal. I have been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed, conveyed, which also means transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. He redeemed us by His blood. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is not get saved or you're going to hell. The good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ loved you enough to give His life for you to get you out of all of your problems and to help you, not just, oh well, now I don't go to hell because of Jesus. I pity people that the only thing that they know about salvation is that because of it, they're not going to hell. And they miss everything that salvation has brought to us until we get the glory and get the full package. They miss it all because now, while I'm saved, y'all pray for me that I'll hold on. And they spend their whole life holding on. Quit holding on to the rope that you think you have to hold on to keep from going to hell. Turn it loose, fall into the blessings of God, and get a hold of all the things that He promised us in that letter. He sent that letter to us. I'm just conveying it to you. Don't ever turn it loose. Don't turn it loose. The message of the gospel. Don't turn it loose. For God so loved the world. That he gave. He's been given ever since. All we've got to do is be thankful and take it. Just believe it. Read it and get excited about it. Instead of reading and saying, man, what do I have to do to get that? Believe it. Believe it. Accept it. Let the grace of God be stirred up in your life and walk in grace. And the world will fade away. The things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His what? Glory and what? Grace. Let's stand. Whatever you need from Jesus Christ this morning, all you got to do is ask Him. And then believe that you got it. Don't be worrying about when it's going to get here. Just say, I got it. Everything God said, I've got it. I've got it. Hallelujah. Even though I got a world working against me and a body that's getting older, everything God said, I've got it. World don't always agree with you, but I've got it. World may say I'm crazy, but I'll tell them I've got it. What you got to do? And you know what Paul said so many times to the people he wrote these letters? when he finished it up, he'd say something to the effect of, "The grace of God and the peace that passes understanding be with you and keep you and guide you and strengthen you until the hope of his coming." Amen. You got it? Hold on to it. Have a good week.